Surely one of the most effective approaches to crime would have to be to simply arrest everyone in a community, take everybody off the street to eliminate crime, save the community by sacrificing it to a police state mentality. It sounds ludicrous, but it was basically, on some level, the approach in the South Florida community of Miami Gardens between 2008 and 2013. The police department there made more than 100,000 stops, questioning over 56,000 people, which is more than half the city's population. If that had been the approach of the notorious and now struck down stop and frisk program here in New York City, 4 million people would have been stopped and questioned. Miami Gardens resident Earl Sampson says he's been stopped 181 times and arrested 111 times. 71 of those arrests were for trespassing at the convenience store where he works.
I feel like I ain't got no rights. Like I ain't got no say-so. Every time they stop me, every time they take me down, they hurt. I feel like I'm just a nobody. I couldn't go nowhere in my own hood without getting took down for trespassing.
I thought Miami Gardens, the police department, any police department, supposed to be coming for rescues, like to help when you need help. But they don't come when you need help. They come when you don't need help and just come to harass you. They could just be walking like this, trying to go to your house in a rush, like looking down like, oh, I need to get home. Like, hey, why are you walking so fast? Stop right there. Don't move. Like, what?
That's Denzel Flowers, a 20-year-old Miami Gardens resident, stopped 27 times since he was 15, but never convicted of any crime. Alice Brennan and Dan Lieberman led the Fusion Network's investigation into Miami Gardens Police Department. They join us now. Welcome, guys.
Hello there.
Hi there, John.
How did you get started in this investigation, and why do you think this is happening?
Well, it started back in the fall with that guy, Earl Sampson, who we just heard from, who was stopped hundreds of times by police. And that was published in the Miami Herald. And, you know, we wondered back then kind of what was going on in this community. How could one guy be stopped hundreds of times? And if it was happening to one person, we wondered what was going on in this community.
And then we ordered the police records from the Miami Gardens Police Department, and over 100,000 records landed on our desk. It took us another couple of months to go through them and clean up all the data and do some analysis, and then we found some incredible things.
And what you found translated into some pictures of what's going on in the community. What did the camera capture that really shows what's going on in Miami Gardens?
An incredible snapshot. 99,980 stops in a population of 110,000. 8,000 kids stopped over a five-year period, and thousands of senior citizens also stopped. So what we basically found was an invasive and very aggressive, what has now been called stop and frisk strategy.
Yeah, and the public defender down here calls this, New York stop and frisk on steroids.
And the orders were coming from the top down here, right?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like this really started back in 2008, 2007 with under a zero tolerance policy. And under that, the police were given sort of free rein to kind of go out and stop people on the basis of trespassing and loitering. And a lot of it was recorded on these field contact forms.
We spoke to two whistleblower officers from within the Miami Gardens Police Department, and they told us that they were given orders from the top to stop any black male between the ages of 15 and 30.
My major walked in and verbally told us that the target to stop in Miami Gardens, he wants all black males stopped between the ages of 15 and 30 years old.
And did you think this was wrong?
Absolutely. You need reasonable suspicion or probable cause.
Now, you're disguising their voices and their faces there. They're very concerned about their jobs.
Yeah, because, you have to understand this. The police chief there, the police department, basically said, these are the orders. And if you followed them, these officers said you were promoted. You were given special assignment. If you didn't, well, you suffer the consequences.
But what do you make of the argument that Miami Gardens has a real problem with crime? It's a high-crime neighborhood. Sure, it's next to Miami, which has a very different approach to policing. But this is definitely a problem area that requires maybe unique and innovative solutions, so to speak.
It's an incredibly high crime area. They are in a small city. They have 25 murders a year. The thing is this policy has been in place since 2008, and the murder rate hasn't gone down. It stayed the same. So obviously something is not working with this approach. We spoke to the City of Miami Police Department, and in a city of 400,000, they only made 3,753 stops. Their approach there is very different. Now, the City of Miami has large pockets of its population with similar demographics to that of Miami Garden. So, I mean, the approach is very, very different.
And interestingly, you know, these police officers said this was actually the worst type of policy to have in a high crime area because you have a terrible relationship with the community.
Does that explain the turnover at the top there in Miami Gardens, PD?
In the last 6-7 months, there have been 3 different police chiefs. I mean, the community is trying to react to this, but we still don't know what's going to happen. I mean, and when you hear from the people like Denzel Flowers, he's 20 years old now, but he says he was just afraid to leave his house. And he said it was like making a deal with the devil living in this community. He said, if you grow up in a high crime area like this in Miami Gardens, you're going to have a record. And if you don't have a record, the police make sure you get one.
John, the other incredible thing that we found was there are some people who are super angry and upset and motivated, and then there's a large proportion of the population there who have grown up with this policy, and they've normalized to it.
Can the new leadership at the top change things? Here's Stephen Johnson, who's the chief of Miami Gardens Police Department, number 3 in less than 6 months here.
As of my start date, there are no quotas in the City of Miami Gardens Police Department.
Any confidence that the Johnson administration can do anything here?
He actually admitted that it was the wrong tool for the job. The question now is where to? What accountability is there for those who instituted this policy and continued this policy?
Meanwhile, what is the social consequence of this having been normalized, of people growing up with an expectation they're going to get stopped multiple times, that a criminal record is basically a part of being a citizen in Miami Gardens? That will have consequences over the next few decades, yes?
Definitely. I mean, there are 8,000 children in Miami Gardens now who have their name on a public record. It's a publicly searchable database, and most of them are recorded as suspicious people. On the contrary, the police chief, Stephen Johnson, says, you know, it's just your name in a database. It doesn't mean that you're a criminal. But public defenders are saying, you know, it's against the Constitution to, at the age of 10 and 11, be recorded as a suspicious person.
Dan Lieberman is investigative correspondent for the Fusion Network, along with Alice Brennan, also an investigative producer for Fusion. They did this investigation into the policing approach, a very aggressive stop and frisk program in the community of Miami Gardens between 2008 and 2013. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.